Oh, it's a happy day, amen? It's awesome. God has given us His Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of our lives, the ruler of the world, the one who has risen. It is a happy day. And not only is it a happy day for us, but for those of us who believe in the resurrection of Jesus, it is a day for us that is like New Year's Day. Have you ever thought about that? That Good Friday and Easter is probably more like New Year's, the old year and the new year, than the actual time on the calendar. Because Good Friday is the dying of the old, and Resurrection Sunday is the coming to life of the new, and that's what old year and new year's all about. This is, for the believer, New Year's Day. And we're going to talk about what that means for us today. On Good Friday, if you were here, I talked about the first love, the love of the first order that sent Jesus to the cross. Today we're going to talk about love's victory. First love becomes love's victory that impacts us in brand new ways. For some of us, for the first time as we become a believer in Jesus, for others of us, it is the ongoing life-changing work, new life happening all the time. First love, to love's victory. Of course, it requires that you need to know what Easter really means. Like the pastor who was wrestling to find somebody who really knew the meaning. He came across one parishioner, asked what Easter meant, and that parishioner said, "Easter, Easter, Easter. Oh, that's about the great big bunny who brings the candy to all the kids." And he, a little surprised by that, but carried on, found another one and said, "What's Easter? What does it mean?" "Oh, Easter, that's when the kids color the eggs and they go on those egg hunts." And the pastor would, kind of in shock, walked around and found one person who he was convinced knew what they were talking about. Why? Because that guy was wearing a tie. And people who wear ties on Easter must know what they're talking about. So he asked him, "What does Easter mean?" And the guy said, "Well, Easter is about the story of Jesus after he died on the cross and then was put in the tomb and the stone was rolled in front. And then on the third day, the stone magically rolled away and Jesus came out of the tomb and he saw his shadow and he knew there would be 6 more weeks of winter." You got to know what Easter really means. It's about the life of Jesus coming out of the tomb to reign with the Father forever. To love and to care for those who call Him Savior and Lord. To provide new life for anyone who will look to Him. New hope. Eternity for all who will call on Him. So today I want to talk about love's victory and how it impacts lives. How it can impact yours and mine. So what I want to do this morning is look at a variety of people's lives. If you have the outline in your bulletin, you'll see that we're going to talk about Ian's life and Mary's life and Jacob's life and suburban life, your life and mine, and see Jesus' life weaved through ours. Let's start with Ian. Ian's life. Let me ask, just to do a little check here, how many were here last Easter? Let me see your hands. All right, quite a few of you were. There's some people who are new. Let me give you a quick refresher. Remember last year, I talked to you about Ian Usher, a guy whose life had fallen apart. He lives in Perth, Australia, and his wife had left him. And he decided he needed a clean slate, new start. So he put everything he owned up for auction on eBay. So last Easter, we talked about that. His house was up for sale on eBay and his patio furniture, everything he owned, but not just his stuff. He put his circle of friends and even his job up on eBay for auction. The auction was to happen in June of 08. So we talked about it at Easter. Let me give you the update. On June the 29th, the auction closed and the sale was final. He was hoping to get $500,000. He figured that's what he needed for a clean slate. But guess what happened in 08? The recession hit. And he only got about $400,000. About $100,000 less than he had hoped for. But nonetheless, he was committed to the sale and committed to the fresh start. So from Easter to Easter, Ian's life has been about reaching a variety of goals, and among them is to travel the world. So let's take a look at this. This is where Ian Usher has been over the course of the last year. All those pins are put in place. He's been traveling the globe, and you'll see he's been even in the United States. Now, on another website, you can read all about it. He's got 100 goals in 100 weeks that he wants to accomplish. Included among them are snowboarding on the Dubai indoor ski slope, big bungee jumping, paragliding, climbing the Eiffel Tower, climbing the Statue of Liberty, or at least walking around it. I don't know if you can climb inside yet after 9/11. Niagara Falls was on his list, the Grand Canyon, Mount Rushmore, Las Vegas, and driving across America on Route 66. So if you were on vacation, maybe you came up and met him somewhere in a shop. Ian Usher's life. He's been trying to find a sense of purpose and meaning. So from Easter to Easter, he's been exploring all these goals. Let me ask you this morning. Is that what life is all about? Is it about the thrills and the adventures and the accomplishing of these high achievement and very expensive goals? The latest update I got on him is that he's finding himself back in Australia pretty poor because all of it cost a lot of money. So he's working in the mines now, trying to save up enough for the next part of his goal achievement, where he's going to travel again across the world. But is that what life is really about? Is that what Jesus came to give new life about? Is that what that new life really means? Well, you need to think about that. While you are, just a little question here for you, your life, Easter to Easter. What has your life been like? Has it been a year for you of having a child, starting a new job, doing a lot of traveling and exciting things, experiencing in your life, finding new friends, starting a new school? Or has it been a year for you of some things that you never could have imagined? It's been a tough year, hasn't it? For many of us, lowered income, lowered salaries, loss of jobs. Maybe for some of you, it's been a year of relational havoc and breakup. Last year, I was talking about meaning and significance in life, and I showed this picture of a wedding cake. Now, maybe that's been the status of your relationship, Easter to Easter, this past year. I don't know. What has your life been like? So let me ask you this question. Jesus came to give first love to us, love of the first order. And on Easter, we celebrate the victory of that love. How does that victory impact your life, whatever it's been like from Easter to Easter? Think about that as we carry on. Let's talk a little bit now about Mary's life, and maybe you'll see a little bit of yourself in her. By Mary, I mean Mary Magdalene. An incredible person that's talked about in the Bible. Mary Magdalene is a lady that Jesus got to know during the course of his 3 years of ministry before he went to the cross. She was a lady who was possessed by an enormous oppression of the devil trying to suck her life out and away from God. In Luke 8, verse 1 and 2, we can show that up on the wall. We're told that Jesus traveled from one town to another proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12, that's the disciples, were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, was one of them. She was a lady who had experienced one day, maybe it was on a day prior to the first Easter, the great freedom that comes from knowing Jesus and his power, his strength in her life. We're told in the verses that follow that she became an ardent follower, a friend, a companion, and a supporter of Jesus. She financially supported his ministry. A little bit later on, we learned some other things. In fact, on Good Friday, you may have missed it because I didn't emphasize it, but I read a text from John 19 where we're told that when Jesus went to the cross, first of all, we know there were a lot of people gathered in the vicinity around the cross, but closest to the cross were some of his closest friends and followers. Listen to this. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. She was of the inner circle of the close friends of Jesus. She had been set free. Now, what about Easter? What happened to Mary Magdalene on Easter? You want to find out? Take your Bibles out from under the chairs. Turn with me to page 1074. Let's find out what happened to Mary Magdalene on the resurrection day. Now we're looking at John chapter 20. Just going to read a couple of verses. Reflect on it for a minute. The story of the resurrection. Here it is, John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Stop there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all contain the story of the resurrection. But John's angle or perspective is unique. He puts a spotlight on Mary Magdalene. We know from the other Gospels that there were other women present, but John only mentions Mary Magdalene. Why? He wants us to see the experience of the resurrection through the impact of love's victory, of Jesus' life on this individual, and to internalize it for ourselves. So here's Mary Magdalene. She's distressed. She's distraught. She sees that Jesus' body is missing. So she runs and she tells Peter and John. They come, they run into the tomb because, like a typical guy, they don't believe what a woman tells them. Something wrong with this picture, right? Has anything changed? All right, so they run, they check out the scene. They see, yes, it's true, he's not there. Pick up the reading again in verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Crying on Easter morning, the first one. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." This is the language, the speech of a woman whose heart has been torn, whose heart had been healed by one who was now forever, she thought, taken away. "I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. I love this verse. She saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. Who did she think he was? Read on. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener. Thinking that God was the gardener. She said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary. Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brother and tell him, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, I simply want you to see this fact. That when she recognized that the gardener was really God, was really this Jesus who had rescued her life, who was now risen, she saw the victory for what it really is. And she said to him the words in Aramaic, the words that in that culture were words of tenderness and connection and relationship. We say, "teacher," to somebody who we might not know who communicates information to us. In that culture, teacher is a friend and a confidant and a mentor and a coach and someone who we implicitly trust and deeply love because they so impact our lives. She said to Jesus, "Rabboni," as he said to her, "Mary." And love's victory comes full circle for her because relationship is restored. Listen, on this Easter day, you've got to catch this. The message of the Church of Jesus Christ, around the globe and here too, is not a message about doctrine and teaching and dry academic systematic theology stuff. It is the message of relationship. And this is specifically put in the Bible so you and I could embrace and see that Jesus is about personal connecting with people. He, after His resurrection, in His first comments to anybody, says the name of a woman whose life He had rescued, Mary. And my friends, this Easter, this resurrection morning, He may well in your heart be trying to say the word to you that you so need to hear, simply your name, because He knows you. This is love's victory. So for Mary, her life from Easter to Easter is from great loss to great gain through love. This is first love become the victory of love. This is her life forever changed, because she now knows that her Savior lives. Well, that's Mary's life. Let me talk to you for just a minute about Jacob's life. Many of you have probably never heard of a man named Jacob Eppinga, but I want to tell you a little bit about him today. Throughout the years growing up in this, in a church in within the denomination that we're a part of, the Christian Reformed Church, Jacob Eppinga has always been known as a writer of an article in a magazine that is published by our denomination called The Banner. He wrote an article for, I think it was like 30 or 40 years, called Cabbages and Kings. Jacob Eppinga died March 1 of 2008, last year. In the last article that he wrote, he was a very good writer. Jacob Eppinga talked about the fact that he had cancer and that he had a very short time to live. He wrote that it was early January when his doctor told him that he would live to see the opening day of baseball season, but he would not live to see the World Series. And he was sad about that. In the article that he wrote, his last Cabbages and Kings article, he said that he was afraid of dying. He wrote very candidly. He says, I've been a minister for 63 years. He was 90 years old when he died. I've been a minister for 63 years. Does it surprise you to hear that I'm afraid of dying? Very honest man. He says, I'm not afraid of death, but I'm afraid of the process of dying. He says, on a scale from 1 to 10, my pain threshold is negative 100. I can relate to that. He talked about his fear of the money running out before he died. He talked about his fear of what would happen to his wife, who was ailing in a nursing home. But as the article went on, he talked about some other things. He said, in his reflecting on life, he has asked the same question that many of us do. The question is, why does God let bad things happen to good people? You know that question. Many of us have asked, why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, people who try to live good lives, why do bad things happen to them? But he said, I've come to understand that there's a more important question than that. And that question is this: why does God allow good things to happen to bad people? Because the truth of the matter is, he said, I am a sinner. I don't deserve anything good from the hand of God. Now again, if you were here on Good Friday, what you would have heard is a message that says we are not just mistake prone. We don't just mess up. It's not just that we mean well, but we fail at times. We are, the Bible says, sinners. And the truth is that there is only hope, there is only life, and there's only victory for people who come face to face with that truth. And Jacob Eppinga, before he died, communicated to all of his readers, I know that I am a sinner. And the fundamental question is, why does anything good happen to people like me who are so prone to walk away from God? And as the article ended, he said, here's what I've come to learn, that everything that happens, happens to me by the grace of God. I am freed from my sin. I can die with a measure of peace because the grace of God has come into my life. And so from Easter to Easter, in that last year of Jacob Eppinga's life, he came to see that he could move from fear to peace through that love of God. From fear to peace through the love of God. He didn't need to shy away from his fear of dying, but neither did he need to be terrified of death. He came to a measure of peace before he died, knowing that his Savior had died and risen for him, and that where he was going after he died was so much better than anything this world would have to offer. As I read that story, the story of Jacob's life, it made me think about this text in 1 Corinthians 15. If you haven't read it or read it in a while, I encourage you today or sometime this week, read the whole chapter. It's a resounding exclamation, an exhilarating description of the resurrection hope that we have. Let me read to you just a part of it, starting in verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable, that's our bodies, inherit the imperishable. Listen, because here is where you and I get the assurance that there's more than this life to live for. Listen, I tell you a mystery. Here's the secret unveiled. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. In other words, when Jesus comes back again. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? There is a sting to death. And that sting is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of the victory that Jesus won, my dear brothers, let us stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So here we are. Let's talk about suburban life. Let's talk about your life and mine as we wrap up this morning. What does your life represent from Easter to Easter? Track it over the last year. The highlights, the lowlights. Where do you find yourself today, April 12, 2009, sitting here in a church? What has God been doing in your life? Here's the truth. That whatever has been happening in your life, there is more. There is more to look forward to. There is more to come. The victory that Jesus has won. Can I ask you boldly and straight up, is your life a little bit like Ian's? Do you find yourself running from goal to goal, trying to find meaning in the adventure, the thrill, the excitement, the accumulation of stuff and relationships? Someday Ian is going to come crashing down. I don't know if he's a believer in God. I've never read anything that indicates that he is. But I wonder, 100 goals into this game he's playing, what's he going to find? Or is your life a little bit like Mary's? And on this Easter morning, you find yourself reconnected, or more deeply connected in relationship to the one who brought you from great loss to great gain. Praise God. Amen? Maybe that's you. Mary. The life that is in great gain because of Jesus' victory. Maybe you identify yourself with Jacob this morning. It may not even be because you've received a diagnosis of the end of this life for you. It may be because of somebody you know who has received that diagnosis. Maybe because of somebody that between Easter and Easter passed away and you are missing them today. Normally they'd be sitting next to you, but they're not here today. But you sit here this morning and you hear the story of Jacob's life and you think about it in the context of Jesus' victory over the grave and you tell yourself, yes, it's sad. Yes, it stings. But the victory is greater than the sting because death is going to be swallowed up. And so I grieve. Listen, I grieve with hope. I grieve with strength. And as Gary Prince said to me, on Friday, he said, Fred, there's been a lot of tears shed, but a lot of those tears are also tears of joy. How could he say that? He can say that because he knows his Jesus personally in his heart. Gary and Bonnie growing so much in their faith. I've seen them through the years. They were with me in my previous church. They've been with us here in this church now for years. I've seen him, their family's growth in Christ. And so he grieves, but he grieves with hope and with joy. And as we end this morning, can I simply say to you, what is your life made up of? What is it that really matters? In this suburban world we live in, where things tend to be so artificial and superficial and plastic, how do we get from plastic to purpose? We get there through the love of Christ, the victory that he won for us. And that's what I want to leave you with, just a teaser for next week, where we're going to explore how to get beyond plastic, superficial, artificial, frenetic, frantic living, going from ball game to ball game, from event to event, but feeling like this emptiness inside, to a fuller kind of life that Jesus has in store for you and for me. But let me tell you this, it is found nowhere else than right here on New Year's Day for the Christian, Resurrection Sunday, where Jesus has risen to give us new life, to give us victory, to give us meaning and value and significance and depth. So whatever your name is here this morning, Jesus, coming out of the grave, looks at you and says, your name, I have come to give you new life. Amen? Amen. Let's rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, nobody could have scripted it except you. This plan of redemption, knowing that we would desperately need a Savior, knowing that justice needed to be meted out and carried through, but to carry it out in a way that would demonstrate love in all of its strength and its power. That Jesus dying on the cross is not an act of weakness, but an act of strength and an act of the defeat of the devil himself. And here on Easter Sunday, we can celebrate the victory that love won for us. Oh God, I pray that we will leave here with joy in our hearts, with a song in our soul, and with an anticipation of what we can experience in life, suburban life, because we live with the kind of hope that Mary experienced. We live with the kind of hope that Jacob experienced. We who tend to live like Ian's can learn how to live like Mary's and Jacob's in the hope and the joy of the resurrection because you live, Jesus. Praise be to you. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.